You're listening to Living Stones Community Church Podcast. For more information about Living Stones, just check out our website at lsccc.com. Have a great day. God bless.
You know, God kind of tested you that this week from walking into Costco and you're telling the lady at the checkout, I can't complain because my pastor told me I can't complain. And to some of you that about lost it when the DirecTV went out in the middle of a ball game. I mean, there's some things, just some attitude check. We talked about last week that there are sometimes in some attitudes that we have that prevent us from God transforming our minds and our thought. So it deals in the area of attitude. One of the scriptures we launched from last week was Philippians 2:5 that says that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, that our goal is to be like Jesus. Now, some people think that this whole Christianity thing is the goal is just to get to heaven, and that is a good benefit of that. But until we get there, he has a purpose for us here on earth. And so our goal is to be like him, is to be transformed into his image. And the transformation begins in the area of our mind. And we identified last week five areas of negativity that we deal with. One may be a personal negativity where we're always down on our ability or our appearance. I'll never be good enough, or it could be a physical thing about ourselves that we despise. Another area is in relational negativity where we've been hurt or betrayed. Anybody been there? Anybody ever been hurt or betrayed? Yeah, pretty much everybody in this room hurt or betrayed, and that's left us being less vulnerable, and so we kind of keep our guard up, and we're negative toward relationships. Another area is in the area of circumstantial negativity where we can have a negative attitude because of what life has dealt us. And then the last thing we talked about is spiritual negativity, where we're mad at God because he didn't answer our prayers, or we were screwed over by somebody that called themselves a Christian, and so we've just kind of included the whole Christian community and having a negative attitude about them. I mean, if one person who called themselves a Christian did me wrong, and so I'm kind of writing off God and everybody else. And then the last thing, which is kind of a catch-all category, a nitpicky negativity where we can just be negative about everything. And as we said, all those things can have a negative effect on our attitude, and as a result, it can keep us stuck spiritually in our spiritual transformation. And if you want to listen to that, it's on our podcast. You can go back and listen to that. This morning, we're going to take another step, and we're going to look at an area called strongholds. And if you kind of think back of what we've sang the last 30 minutes, everything kind of dealt with this. And in fact, next week we'll send out something maybe in our e-news where you can, by Thursday, we kind of set our worship list and we tweet that out. And so if you want to kind of get on there and worship with the songs we're going to do before Sunday, you can do that. It will take you to Spotify, and it's just a good opportunity where you can come in here and really get into worship, sing like you do in the shower, that type of stuff. But anyway, we're taking the next step in this. And if you didn't get a handout this morning with the notes on the back of it, if you need one, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. There's some things that we'll need to look at as we walk through this. 2 Corinthians 10. Start reading of verse 3. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to do what? To demolish strongholds. Therefore, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Scripture says that the weapons that we fight with are not of this world, but they have divine power for what? To demolish strongholds in our life. And so a natural question to me is, what is a stronghold? And so the word stronghold in the Greek means, literally, it means to fortify, or it means a strong castle. There's a place where we vacation every year in San Augustine, Florida. And it's actually the oldest city in America. And so there is a fort there on the banks of the Atlantic Ocean. It's a fort. And it is a strong fort that when they came in and, and attack that city, they would go into this fort. And it was strong walls, a strong castle. That's the mental image that I get. It's also, and kind of for our application this morning, a stronghold is a prisoner locked by deception. It's a person that is believing a lie as if the lie were true. And so when I read that, I thought, well, you know, that kind of takes me to dogs, because we have a dog that I love, and his name's Coda, and we have some friends that have one of those those invisible fences. Anybody got one of those? And so they have friends that they strap these collars on their dog, and they send them out in the yard, and it conditions. When they get to the edge of the yard, then it shocks them. And so it keeps them inside the yard. And we've tried that with our children. No, not really. But anyway, we didn't get an invisible fence, but we got a collar, a shock. Well, it's not a shock. It's a vibrating collar that shocks him, I think. But anyway, our dog, Coda, he's a soft coat of Wheaton, and he loves people. I mean, if you come to my house, he's going to jump up. No matter how hard we tried, he'll try to kiss you right in the mouth. I mean, they call it the Wheaton greeting. And so he loves people, but when the UPS man comes or the post, I mean, he goes nuts. I mean, in about 2 seconds, and he's about to get in the door, and he barks and all this kind of stuff. And so we got this special collar that we put on him, and every time he would run to the door to do that, you just push a button, and you know, it kind of stops him, gets his attention, and he runs up the stairs and all that kind of stuff. And we're not really good. In fact, we really got it because we had gotten a puppy that we'd since got rid of. We didn't want him to teach the puppy the bad trick. So we every time we did that, he would stop what he's doing and run upstairs. And so now all you've got to do with Coda is just pick up the remote. He didn't have the collar on, and he, you know, we're just never there to pick up the remote because we're too busy doing other stuff. But anyway, that's the mental picture that I got where I lost my thought. Let's go back this way. Well, I don't know where I wrote that. Anyway, it's a that's the picture I've got. A stronghold is where you're kept in. You're a prisoner kept in by deception. And so that invisible fence that they're kept into this fence, into this area, and it's because they believe that they can't go beyond that. And so that's a stronghold. Some of the examples of what a stronghold would look like in a woman or a girl would be that person, and some of us have seen this, where you are physically, this girl who is physically attractive and she's thin, but in her mind she thinks that she's overweight and ugly, and she may believe this to the place to where she's anorexic, and that's a stronghold. She's a prisoner locked by deceptions. Guys are often the opposite of that. Guys tend to think that they're hot when they're not, and that's a stronghold. A stronghold is a prisoner locked by deception. One commentary writer described a stronghold as a place of strength where evil is entrenched. A stronghold is a place where a place of strength where evil is entrenched. Then it said a stronghold is not out in the open or easily exposed, meaning that you may have some strongholds that you don't know that you have. A stronghold is a well-defended and difficult to attack. And so I pray that this morning and next week that we'll learn to identify those strongholds or potential strongholds in our life, and that we will be equipped from our time together to do battle with that, to have the weapons that God has given us. And so, because the thing is, until we get to this place, we'll be in that area to where we are deceived, thinking that we can't have victory in an area. And there's a lot of people, and a lot of us maybe in this room, that kind of have that thought that I can never go beyond this point. I can never be in an intimate relationship with God or others. I can never change. I'm always going to be this way. I'm always going to be overweight, always going to be depressed, always going to be addicted. This is just the way that I am. And that is a stronghold. You are a prisoner locked by deception. And according to 2 Corinthians 10:4, God has given us the tools and the weapons that have divine power to demolish the strongholds. That means we don't have to be prisoners. Last week, we said that weakness is a welcome sign hanging on the door of our lives, inviting God inside. And so this week, let's invite God to come in and get open and honest and learn how to recognize and demolish strongholds that may be in our lives. If you're taking notes, there are three thoughts on demolishing strongholds that I want us to see. And the first one is this, is that in dealing with strongholds, you must identify the stronghold. And this isn't always as easy as it appears, because oftentimes we are the ones that are deceived and don't even realize that it's a stronghold. There's a passage in 2 Timothy 2:26 that speaks of this. It says this, that they will come to their senses and they will escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. That describes a person that's in bondage, a person locked by a deception. That's a person who's been taken captive by the devil to do his will. And Satan's greatest game plan is to get you to believe a lie so that you will no longer seek after the things of God and God's will. But instead, you'll be a prisoner. You'll be held captive and used by the enemy to do his will. And Satan's greatest tool and weapon has always been a lie. Always. That's how he fought against Adam and Eve in the garden in the beginning, and that's how he fights against you and me today. He is a liar. He's a liar. And John 8:44 speaks of this, of Satan. It says that he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's who he is. When the devil opens his mouth, he's lying. If he opens his mouth, he's lying. That's who he is. And so a person who is in bondage, a person that is being controlled by a stronghold, is a person that has believed the lie. In your notes, there's a list of five common categories of strongholds that I want us to kind of walk through like we did last week. And I hope that it will help diagnose any potential strongholds that we may have in our life. And so as we go down the list, if there's an area where you're prone to, where you are a prisoner locked by deception, be bold enough to check the box and to deal with it. Remember, the first thing is to identify what it is. And so box number one, the first one is this, is in the area of material or financial strongholds. Material or financial strongholds. It goes something like this, if you've ever thought of this or said this: if I only had more blank, I'd be happy. If I only had more money, if I only had a different car, if I ever only had a better house or better clothes, if I only had a better paying job, then I would be happy. Or maybe yours sounds like this: if only I had blank, then I would feel secure. If only I had this much money in the bank, or if only I could pay this certain thing off, then I would feel secure. And it's to the place to where it has become a stronghold in your life. It controls you. Or maybe your financial material stronghold goes like this. Maybe it's where you recognize, I'm kind of bummed today. Kind of feel sad. And so let's go to Target. Let's go to Target. I mean, Target. You know, I don't know about you guys. I just don't feel right going to the Target by myself. The women just got a weird look on their face in there, I think. But if it makes you, I'm sad, so I'm going to go buy something. Or maybe yours is you go to Amazon. You know, man, you can buy everything on Amazon. It rocks. Or maybe yours comes out like this: I'm so sick and tired of everybody else getting nice things, and I don't have anything. I'm jealous and I'm envious. Why doesn't God bless me in the way that he blesses everybody else? Or maybe for you, you simply worry about money all the time, that there's this internal fear, this deep lack of security, and maybe it's the source of a lot of fights between you and your spouse, and you would say, that's me, that's me. I've got that. That's an area that grips me. I have a financial and material stronghold. And if that's you, check the box. That's keeping me in bondage. And so identify. The second box is what we're going to call addictive and habitual strongholds. addictive and habitual strongholds. You're addicted to something, and it's a habit. Some of you are addicted to $4 Starbucks drinks, and that's why you're broke. It's an addiction to you. Others of you are addicted to smoking or chewing tobacco. At one time in my life, that was me. You know, back in my 20s, when I worked at Dow Chemical, I noticed that the guys that got breaks at the chemical plant were the guys that smoked. And so I just kind of picked up smoking just to kind of so I could have a break like everybody else. And about 5 years later, I was addicted to it. And so the way that I got off smoking, the way that I was delivered from smoking, I started dipping Skoal. And that was even more addictive to me. In fact, I remember even in college, I'd get out of bed in the morning, and my first step was out of the bed. My next step was grabbing my can of Skoal, and then third step, I had a dip of Skoal in my mouth. I was addicted. Until God delivered me from that. Some people are addicted to alcohol or drugs, and people try to tell you that it's messing up your life and it's messing up theirs, and you tell yourself and you tell them, I can quit at any time, but you haven't. For other people, you're addicted to pornography, and you're in bondage. You're prisoner locked by deception, and it's destroying you and your marriage and every relationship in your family. Not all addictions are negative. Some of you are addicted to sports. Some of you are addicted to Xbox. Some of you are addicted to Pokemon Go. Some of you I see on the plaza and you about run over me because you're chasing a Pokemon. I won't say who that is in here, but anyway. Others of you are addicted to work. And for years you've been telling yourself and your family that one day you're going to slow down, but you haven't slowed down and you're not even anywhere close. It's an addiction. It's a habitual stronghold. And to be free from it starts with admitting it. So if that's you, check the box. Box number 3 is in the area of personal or physical strongholds where you just, I don't like my body. I wish that it was different. I wish I had a different image. I wish that just I looked different. For some of you, it's played out in your eating or you're not eating to the point to where you starve yourself to look a certain way. Or maybe instead of starving yourself, it's the opposite to where you're just kind of drowning your sorrow. It's your comfort food. And so you go get the Bluebell ice cream and just cram it down. It's overeating to where you kind of silence the pain. For others, this looks like where you're so addicted to working out and so you run or you go to the gym twice a day, and if you miss one of those, you think the world's coming apart. And exercise and eating right is good, but if it's become a little imbalanced in your life and to the point to where it's controlling you, then there's a sign that it's a stronghold. Some of you are addicted to what others think about you physically, and you just feel like you're never good enough. And so to fit into a certain image, you paint, bleach, tuck, trim stuff, and tan your body and hair to look a certain way. And for some, these are physical, personal strongholds. If that's you, check the box. Number next, box 4. Some have relational strongholds. You don't have any real close friends or good relationships because you don't relate well with those around you. You're bitter and critical and judgmental. And you may have a lot of acquaintances, but you don't really connect. Some of you are in marriages, and on the outside, it looks great. Maybe on the outside, you look like you have the perfect marriage and family, but the truth is there's no real intimacy inside your family. You've forgotten how to open up and to care for one another. Some of you are not married, and you'd like to be, but every time you start to get close to somebody and things start going good, you self-destruct, and you ruin the relationship before you even have a chance of getting it going, and it happens time and time again. Some people don't know how to tell the truth. You just lie and lie and lie, and you lie to cover up a lie, and it's killing your relationship. All these could be signs of relational strongholds in your life. If that's you, check the box. Then the last, final category is what we're going to call spiritual stronghold. And the foundation of this stronghold is basically this, is that you don't trust God. At the root of it is that you want to be in control. And so in those times when you lose control, you begin to freak out and you worry about it. And the bottom line is because you don't trust God. And some of you don't trust God's people because in your mind, they're all the same. They're all hypocrites and judgmental. Some of you have been hurt by some authority figure in some Christian circle or church. And so now you don't trust pastors and you're projecting it on every pastor and you kind of say every minister, all ministers are the same. So you have a critical spirit, and it's become a stronghold, and you're in bondage. You're a prisoner locked by deception. And it's keeping you from trusting God. The first step out of bondage is to identify the stronghold. Identify the areas where you have the propensity to believe a lie. And to get honest with yourself and with God. And with the help of the Holy Spirit to identify your biggest stronghold. The second is this. First we identify it. The second is this, is that we attack the stronghold with God's weapons. We attack the stronghold. We go on the offensive and we attack. We don't wait around. We don't hope. We attack. Proverbs 21:22 says this. A wise man attacks the city of the mighty, and he pulls down the stronghold in which they trust. That means that we don't wait around passively. We don't hope something happens. We go on the offense against the schemes of the enemy, and we attack with the weapons of God. And so how do we attack? 2 Corinthians 10:3, we read it all ago. This is a different translation. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, though we live according to the world, we do not war according to the flesh. The world wages war with investigations and programs and studies and counseling and classes and things. These things aren't bad in and of themselves, but there's a higher, stronger, more powerful weapon that God has given us. Verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That says that when we embrace the weapons of God, that they have the power to smash and demolish and destroy the strongholds in my life, in our life. Now, my youth ministry, I was in youth ministry for 20-something years, and so the youth ministry side of me wanted to bring a table in here today and to get a watermelon and set it on the table. And I was going to have Cole. Cole would have been a great guy to come over here with a sledgehammer and smash the watermelon. Now, that would have been really cool, wouldn't it? If you had plastic on it, it didn't splatter you. It would have made a mess. But it would have been a great picture of what the Bible says, that the weapons of God do to strongholds, that they obliterate, they demolish the strongholds. That's a great mental picture to illustrate what Paul is saying here. That the Bible says that as Christians, that the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. And is in the power of the cross, that we do battle and we pull down the strongholds. We don't sit back and just hope, well, maybe one day it'll change. Well, I hope it happens. We identify it. We identify the lie in our life, and we begin to do battle with it. We attack it. We go on the attack. And when those lies that keep us bound come up against the truth of God, they are obliterated like that watermelon. They no longer have a power over us. And one of the primary weapons that God gives us is the weapon of prayer. You know, here's the deal about prayer. You know what I've noticed? Even something that happened this week, I noticed hearing a major problem or a major issue and telling the person, well, man, I wish I could help you. All I can do is pray. It kind of gives an indication of what we believe about prayer. Prayer is a weapon. And what's even greater is and it's one reason the Bible designed, the Bible teaches that we aren't designed to do life alone, that we need each other. That's one of the purposes of life groups and stuff like that, is that we identify with other men and we identify with other women and people that are going through what we're going through. Like in our life group, there's, you know, most of us have already got kids out of our house, and so we've walked through over the years with teenagers. We walked through those times, and we still have times where we're faced with stuff and say, hey, what did y'all do with it? How'd y'all mess with that? And from experience, we talk about it and we pray for one another. And when we pray, you go to somebody that you trust, somebody that you know that cares for you and says, man, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with it. Would you pray with me about that? They hold us accountable. That's a weapon. The second weapon is the weapon of truth. We begin to identify the lies that we have believed from the enemy. And not only do we identify them, we replace the lies with the truth of God's word. And as we do, God starts to renew our minds. And we'll talk about that more next week. The first thing that we have to do is identify the stronghold. The second, we declare war. We attack it with God's weapon. And the third and last thing is we demolish strongholds with God's truth. We demolish the strongholds with God's truth. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And what do? The Bible says we take it captive. What do we take captive? Every thought, every idea that is against God, we take it captive. I know I've told this story before, and you know, just part of being in church for 11 years, I guess, when I'm doing the majority of the speaking, you're going to hear my stories again. But I remember hearing the story, or not hearing the story, I remember when my daughter was born. We have 4 kids. She was the 3rd in line. She was born at a research hospital. And I remember she was born at, right around that time, it's when insurances started getting really goofy and we had to go home early. We, instead of staying, what was it, 3 days we used to be able to stay, or 2 days, they sent us home 24 hours after she was born. And so, you know, they had this brilliant idea. Send them home. You know, we'll send a nurse by the next day and check things out. And so we came home. And I remember taking the 2 oldest boys to see Lion King. It was back in 1994. Is that right? Yeah, 94. And so I remember being over in Kansas with the boys, taking them to see Lion King. And I get a call from Jan on the way back. And she says, the nurse is here and Easton has a really high fever. I think we need to go to the hospital. So I get back here as quick as I can. Jeff, you may have come over and watched the boys. I don't remember back then, but I remember Jan and I went to research hospital, and we got down there probably about 10 o'clock at night. She's just, you know, 2 or 3 days old. Of course, your mind, you've been through something like that, your mind goes to the extreme worst thing possible. So they begin to run tests. No answers. And I remember they left us in this room. It was just me and Jana, rocking chair. There was a bed there. And I remember sitting in that chair, rocking Easton, thinking the absolute, I mean, in my mind, I'm picking out the casket. I mean, that's just the way we tend to go. I'm thinking about all the negative things that could be happening. They couldn't figure out what's going on with this little girl. And I remember just beginning to sing over her. Some of the songs, you know, I talk all the time. The songs we do, they're loaded with truth, and it's on purpose because they remind us of what Scripture says. And I remember sitting there with my little two-day-old girl, and I just began to sing worship songs over her. And it was, I don't know if it was a physical thing or what, but I remember that room that was filled with despair. I took captive the thoughts. She was going to die. And I began to proclaim the truth of God's word, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And He's the God that heals. And I just began to sing that over her, rocking back and forth. And it was almost like a vacuum came into that room, and it pulled all of the lies out of that room. and it left us with this hope and a peace. And I'm telling you, we didn't have any answer to this day. We don't know what was wrong with her. We were in the hospital a couple of days after that. They still didn't know what was wrong with her. But God gave me a peace that day. And so when the enemy comes against you, and we've already said he's a liar. He's a liar. And he's going to make sure that you focus on, he's going to attack you with the most horrible thing. And you've got to take the lies captive and make them obedient to God. And it's so important why you have to know the Word of God, is that we demolish anything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive. We make it obedient to Christ. And as we do that, we begin to realize that our security is in not what I can see or feel or touch. It's not what the numbers say. My security is not in my image or relationships. But my security is in God and God alone. He's my source. And he's my provider. He's my rock. He's my firm foundation. Nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing is impossible with God. We stop falling for the lie that's held us into bondage, and we demolish the stronghold with the truth. So what's your lie? What's become a stronghold in your life? There's a guy named Lawrence Myers that used to be a part of this church, and he started coming here. We started 11 years ago. He came within about the second or third week, and he was probably in his 70s then, wasn't he? Late 60s, 70s. He'd ride a motorcycle. And he'd come up there. A lot of times he'd have donuts in the back of it. We used to call him the donut man. And Lawrence would come in. He was a single guy, been through a couple marriages. He'd been messed over in life. I mean, he was a mess. I remember there was one Sunday he was standing in the back. And I'd made mention of being addicted to tobacco one time earlier. He'd been smoking his entire life. And on that morning, God delivered him from smoking. I remember him telling me over and over after, they said, "Dan, I always thought I would be addicted. I never thought I would be free." Just like some of you are have the thought of, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to be married. Never going to have friends. I'm always going to be this way. I'm always going to be addicted, always going to be in financial bondage. I'll never have a good relationship with God. As long as you believe the lie, you're going to remain stuck. You're going to remain a prisoner in bondage by deception. And in the name of Jesus, you can be free. You can be free. So as you spend time in prayer and you gather people around you to pray for you, and you focus on the truth of God, your mind can be renewed and you can overcome your stronghold. Once you identify the stronghold in your life, you begin to tear it down brick by brick. And it's going to take persistence. You can't give up. I heard the story this week of a man who's doing some demolition in his house, changing some things in his house, and it came to this concrete wall he was wanting to knock out, and he hired a contractor to do that, and so the contractor showed up, and he showed up with a sledgehammer, and so the man's kind of sat there and just sat there and watched this guy go up against the wall, and he got the sledgehammer out, and he hit the wall once, nothing happened. He hit it again, nothing happened. 10th time, nothing happened. The 30th time, he hit it and a crack began to go down the wall. He hit it again and again, and all of a sudden it was like a spider web across the wall. He He put the sledgehammer down. He got a chisel and a smaller hammer, and he began just to chip away at the rest of it. For you to get over what's keeping you bound, it's gonna look like a granite wall to you. And it's not going to be one of those things where you just hit it once and it goes up. It's got to, because the enemy is going to continue to come at you with a lie. You make a decision today that you're going to choose to be free. You can count on it in the morning. He's going to come against you. He's a liar. His vision for your life, his mission for your life is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. He hates you. He hates your family. So if he can keep you in bondage, he doesn't have to worry about you. He can keep you believing a lie. I'm always going to be this way. There's no power. You believe that, there's no power to do anything. You think you're stuck for life? That you have no future? So when he comes to you with a lie, you look at him, you say, there's nothing too difficult for my God. Yeah, but you've blown it really bad. The Bible says that if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me. Satan, he wiped the slate clean. There's nothing I've done that he hadn't forgiven me for. And you go back with the lies. You attack the lies with the truth of God's word. We'll talk more about that next week. You stand to your feet. Maybe this morning, God has begun to open your eyes. Some of us prayed at the beginning of the thing, God, would you just, you have freedom. You have permission to look into the crevices of my life. So he's begun to do that as we've talked this morning. He's begun to expose some lies that we've been believing. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We come to you in the power of your name. And we confess to you, God, that we can't do it on our own. God, we invite you into the problem, into the situation, into the mess that we have. God, we invite you in. God, I pray that you would release people this morning from the fear and the lies of the enemy. God, would you just put within them your truth. We can be free. We can be free. Those areas that are coming against us, God, help us take those lies, to take them captive and make them obedient to Christ and to proclaim your truth. Set us free in Jesus' name.